Heavenly Father, may your Spirit speak boldly to our hearts and minds today and help us to understand what the story of your scriptures is actually telling us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to give you a context of what was going on, the kingdom of Israel had been divided. So what had happened, because of the kings of Israel's sins, because they had turned their way back from God, God took the kingdom and he divided it. And so what you had was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom had Jerusalem. It had, I think it was Judah and Benjamin. It was at the lower parts. And the upper part was the other 10 tribes of Israel. And you can see on this map here, all around it, you have the kingdom of Eden. That was Esau. That was the brother of Esau. Over here, Moab, that was Lot's and Ammon. Those were Lot's children. And so all around Israel, you have these people that were the family of God that turned away from God, and now they become all of Israel's enemies. So what had happened is they set up this kingdom in Samaria, north of Jerusalem. And what happened was that God had taken the kingdom away from Solomon's son Rehoboam and gave it to, what's that? Jeroboam, son of Nebat. There you go. Thank you. You guys are smarter than me. You should be up here. But Jeroboam had a problem. He's like, you know what? He knew that Jerusalem was in the other lower kingdom, and all the people worshiped Jehovah, all the worship the one true God. And he said, if all these people keep going down to Israel, to the southern kingdom, to worship God, they're going to leave me, and they're going to reunite, and I'm going to lose my power. What to do about this? Okay, here's what we do. So we're going to set up worship in the lower part of the kingdom, on the lower part, and up in the northern part, up in the tribe of Dan. And we're going to worship these false gods and have people go up there, and we're going to make this religion that's sort of similar to what they did with the one true God and going to Jerusalem and to the temple three times a year. But we're going to do this in the lower parts of the kingdom, and so that way people don't have to leave, and I get to keep all my power. And then it was kind of a strange deal, because this was a guy, Jeroboam, was given this message from God, from Jehovah, from the one true God, and as soon as he got his power, he turned his back on him. I don't know how people work. I don't know. You scratch your head, you know, how can the children of Israel in the desert see the things happen time after time, all of God's miracles, and as soon as they have any kind of fear of losing what they have, then all of a sudden, they turn their back on God. Don't think that we're any too much different. Human beings are human beings. And so our hope is to cling to God with all that we have and all that we are, because that's our only hope. So this is in 1 Kings. It says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as it was a light thing to him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And he took Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, on that map that I showed you, just north of the northern kingdom was the kingdom of Tyre. That was Sidon, or the Sidonians. That's where Jezebel came from. And it was one of the traditions that were handed down from the people, from the kings anyway, that if the king marries the daughter of the other bordering countries, then surely that king won't attack because his daughter's there, and they, you know, so they would broker peace by marrying these other women. Ahab, it says here, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. This guy was a special kind of mean. This guy was a special kind of not so bright. Yeah. It says that she took the daughter of the Sidonians and went and served Baal. This is the king worshiping Baal. And thing is, he grew up in the house of God. He knew better. He knew the oral traditions. He lived and breathed and worked with people who served God. They served Jehovah, the one true God, and they were part of his daily life, and yet somehow he saw fit to serve Baal instead. power is a funky thing, man. People do not give it up easily. You wrench it from their hands and they get all weird. Jezebel was the daughter of the king of Tyre. She was sent down and she had this power over Ahab that was it was unspeakable. This is what Mrs. White says about it. She said, I guess we got to read a little bit more here. 1 Kings 16, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. This guy was the worst of the worst. Yes, brother. It says here in the other verse there that he was the son of Omri, who also did evil in the sight of the Lord. So this is kind of what you did. You grew up in a house that knew about God, and you worked and did all these things with these other people, but at the same time, you just kind of went off and did your own thing. It's a tough thing because you got to live in the world, work in the world, and this is what happens even among Christians here. We have to be profitable in business, so sometimes you do things that aren't right and, you know, say things that aren't right. Well, he had no problems doing that kind of thing. It says that, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. He set up false places of worship, knowing the truth. So just to give you a context, this is one of the gods that they worship here was Baal. And this is where the things really get confusing here. Baal was very similar to Bel, came from the Babylonian gods, which was similar to Marduk, which is similar to Zeus and the Greeks, which is similar to Jupiter and the Romans. It's all kind of the same pantheon of gods that's repackaged all the time. And you see this here, this staff that he's holding is actually a lightning bolt. Now, when we think, you know, when God gets angry, he throws a lightning bolt down from heaven. That's Zeus, which actually came from Baal. And you want to know something interesting about the name Baal? It means the Lord. It's just a generic term for God. So you're worshiping God, you're worshiping the Lord, but you're not very specific on who it is or what it means. That's where God's people get twisted up. Okay, yeah, I'm worshiping God. Well, who are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? Are we worshiping this pantheon of gods that's been handed down throughout time? And this is where it gets really weird because they're all so similar, because it's all been handed down, because we don't worship Marduk anymore, and because the religion of Marduk is so similar to the perverted religion that we have today, people say, oh, well, that's a dead religion. The new religion's just like it, so therefore I don't have to believe. Scary. It's really scary. Okay, so there was two main gods that they worshiped. One was Baal, the Lord, just this generic god that's been handed down. And usually Baal had this, whatever flavor, you took the main story of the pantheon and then you put your own local flavor and stories to this same god. So it's a kind of a god of your own making. The other one was Asherah. Now, it says here a little bit ago that he set up a grove. So in Asherah, there's not to be confused with Ashtaroth. Now, Ashtaroth was the queen of heaven, and that's a whole sermon for another day here. Asherah was like the grove. It was a place of worship. So it was like a pagan place, like a circle of grove of trees where they would worship. Or sometimes Asherah was this goddess. She was this, what they call the consort or a cohort. She was a concubine to a pagan god and concubine to Baal. This is what they worshiped. This is what they did. Knowing the truth, knowing what that was right, and the difference between right and wrong and not caring. This is Mrs. White here. This is God had been with Ahab. If God would have been with Ahab if he had walked in the council of heaven, but Ahab did not do this. He married a woman given to idolatry. Jezebel had more power over the king than God had. She led him into idolatry and with him, the people. With him, the people. wherever the king goes, the people go too. And by his decisions to choose the religion that he wanted, to do what he wanted to do, to forsake the ways of God, he would lead not only himself, but an entire nation down the tubes. So she says here, the influence of Jezebel over Ahab was greater than the influence of the Spirit of God. However powerful and convincing the evidence from heaven was. We ask, well, how can it be? Can they saw these things happen? They saw fire rain down from heaven at Mount Carmel. They saw the stones and everything. There was nothing left when God's fire came down. And that wasn't enough to turn their hearts back unto God. It was enough for some of the people that were there, but it wasn't enough for the king. All these things happened. Ahab became king, and then Jezebel decided, she got sick of all these people that were telling the truth, all the prophets that were teaching the truth from Jehovah. So she had them all killed, and if she hadn't, well, she didn't kill all of them. The guy Obadiah, he scooped up like 100 of them and hid them in a cave. If he hadn't have done that, God's messengers would have been wiped out entirely. But God always has a plan. He always has a way out, and he always has his message will never cease to go out. Okay, so the prophets were saved. So then it came down to a big showdown on Mount Carmel where, If Baal be God, we'll serve him. If God be God, then we'll serve him. And God showed by fire that he, and this still wasn't enough to see the king. And that leads us to another story here. This is in 1 Kings 21. And it came to pass that after these things, that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. Naboth was the neighbor of the king. He had a vineyard next to the king's vineyard, and one day the king says, you know what? That's a pretty nice vineyard. I think I want to do that. I want to keep that for my very own. There's quite a story there. When you think about it, that here you have the one who had the king, who had everything, who saw what this other guy had, and he wanted that too. It's not enough to be rich. It's not enough to have everything. You got to have what he has too. That's the selfishness of this king. So Ahab, he went to the neighbor. He's to Naboth, and he's saying, give me your vineyard that I may have a vegetable garden because it is near next to my house. For it, I will give you a vineyard better than it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you what's worth in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance to you of my fathers. Naboth was a true believer in the one true God. It was very important to them that this inheritance in the Holy Land, which was given to them, should not be let go. This was his land. This was his inheritance given to him by God and by his family, and he didn't have to give it up. So Ahab went to his house, sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And when he lay down on his bed, he turned away his face, and he would eat no food. So he went home and had a big old hissy fit. Boo hoo. So, Jezebel. When you think about Jezebel, It's you're always thinking of this woman of ill repute as like this prostitute or something like that. Jezebel was a good wife. She was. She was faithful in her duties to take care of the things that she was given to do. And she saw her husband. She nurtured him. She took care of him. And she says here in verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food? And he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I'll give you another for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, you are now exercised authority over Israel? He's like, look, dude, aren't you the king? Can't you do anything that you want? What are you doing? Get up. You're the king. Come on. Arise, eat food, let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelites. Like, I'll fix this for you. Don't you worry. I got this. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with a seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city of Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast, seat Naboth in high honor among the people, and set two among scoundrels before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king, then take him out and stone him that he may die. She set a trap for him. If Naboth wouldn't give him the kingdom, she'll have him killed. People who have no respect for human life, who are so drunk with their own power, will stop at nothing to get what they want. Naboth was just a bump in the road, something to kick out of the way and move on. And so the men of the city, the elders, the nobles who were inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent to them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them, they proclaimed a fast, seated Naboth with high honor among the people. And two men, in the King James it says, two sons of Belial, that's what it means, two liars, two men, scoundrels, came and sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, saying, against Naboth in the presence of his people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. And they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then Jezebel saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. Verse 15, and when it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth and the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but he's dead. And so it was, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up, went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. You'd think he'd feel just a little bit bad about that, right? You would hope. You would really hope that he at least felt a little bit bad, but it didn't stop him from going down there. So here he is. He's going down there. He's walking around. He's like, woohoo, I got this new vineyard. I'm going to put this here. I'm going to put this there. And then God steps in. Evil will never go completely unpunished. It may take a while for justice to be done, but God has his ways, and mark my words, God will take care of every wrong that's been done. He will make things right. Verse 17, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah. You got to love Elijah. This is the one who told the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the one who told the king Ahab to repent different times. He's the one that whenever Ahab was saying, ugh, you again? My troubler is here. This guy. And he's saying, this is God telling, then the Lord went to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You speak to him. This is what you tell him. Thus says the Lord, have you murdered? Have you also take possession? And you speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick the blood, even yours. So Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O enemy? Have you found me, O enemy? And he answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity upon you. I will take away your posterity. I will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. Not only has God seen what you have done, I will take down your house. I will take down all of your entire family as well. There will be no root left of you here. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation which you have proved me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dogs shall eat whatever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whatever dies in the field. Verse 25, but there was none like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So, remember, keep in mind here, he was a human being, and he grew up in the house of the Lord. He knew the truth. He knew the one true. He had been introduced, anyway, to the one true God. And now here Elijah is speaking these things to him, that the dogs are going to lick up your blood. So it was when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay on sackcloth, and he went about mourning. Ahab believed Elijah. At the end of the day, all the horrible things Ahab had done, Ahab believed in the one true God. And he believed these things were going to come to pass. He tore his clothes. He put ashes on his head. He wore sackcloth. It was like a potato sack, just to show that he was in mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his days of his son." So it's not in his life. And because he has humbled himself before the Lord, that is no small thing. When we, even in our worst, when we humble ourselves before God, it means something. It really means something. And I was wondering, I was scratching my head. It's like, okay, so here you have Jezebel killing the prophets. I don't know how many. Obadiah saved 100 of them. There must have been hundreds more that she had murdered. You had this great showdown between God and Baal on Mount Carmel, and God did not step in. And then when Jezebel riles up Ahab and murders the guy and steals the vineyard for a vineyard, then God steps in and proclaims these things upon him. Why? I wonder why. The only thing I can come up with is that if you're going to be a preacher, a teacher, out a pastor, something out in the gospel ministry, you're going out into the arena and you're going to take a few lumps and bumps. You kind of get what you get. It just kind of goes with the course. But when bully people start taking out the innocents, God got their attention immediately. It wasn't until Ahab and Jezebel stepped up to take what the innocent man's livelihood, to take his very life, to steal even what he had. The king had everything. He could have had anything he wanted, but he wanted the one thing that he couldn't have, is what people said. No, he was going to take it by force anyway. Naboth was an innocent man. And there's a tie-in here. Satan was the king, was the prince of this earth. He had everything at his disposal. Jesus came to this earth, and he was of a humble beginning. He was just of average appearance, and he had basically nothing while he was here on this earth, and Satan had to take that too, and that's the story here. God takes offense to people hurting the innocents. Maybe. There we go. And if our sermon ended there, I would say, woohoo, I've been fed today. God is good, isn't he? There's more to this story. There's more to this story, and I got to tell you, it's awesome. Okay. I've gone over this before. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. "Now all these things happen unto them that are in samples, that they are written for admonition unto whom the ends of the world are come." Admonition means a cautionary advice or warning. This is talking about the children of Israel being marched to the Red Sea and how they were baptized, and how this is a story that we should pay attention to so that we can glean from it the meaning and have it be a cautionary tale. Okay. One of the keys to understanding Revelation is that a church is symbolized by a woman. A good church is a good woman. A bad church is a bad woman. And you can apply these things to the Bible, some of these Bible stories, as kind of strange as they are. When you do this, sometimes you get some pretty cool stuff. So let's back up a little bit. So we know that she was from the Sidonians. Jezebel was the daughter of the Sidonian king. That was the thing that encompassed the kingdom of Tyre. Okay, the kingdom of Tyre is symbolized here in Ezekiel. And this happened, this was written probably a couple generations after she existed. But make no mistake that the kingdom that she came from hadn't changed any. And so this is a lamentation of Ezekiel to the king of Tyre. It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum of full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." This is actually God revealing to us where Satan came from. The troubler, front from the very beginning, this is talking about Satan. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub, the covereth, and I have set thee so that thou hast the holy mountain of God, so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked in down in the midst of the stones of fire." It's telling us that Satan was in heaven. He had all these beautiful covering stones. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways until the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. But by the multitude of the merchandise of thy love, of merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy the old covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of the traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men, and behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished for you, because thou hast been a terror, and never shalt thou be anymore." Okay, this is what we're talking about, Satan. This is what how Satan's going to be taken out. This is how it's going to end. There's a point to this. I'll get to it, Laura. Jezebel was the daughter of this king, or this kingdom. She was her makeup, not her makeup, but her DNA, how she was made up, how she was brought up, what she believed. It came right out of this kingdom of Tyre. So if Jezebel is a type of a church, okay, therefore the church of Satan will have an effect on the king of the land. And this is the theme that we see in Revelation. And even in this story here, there is an Elijah who will come up and he would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." This is Revelation 17. It's funny, this the king, if you look at the names, I did the name thing on this too. If you look at the names, Ahab means brother, uncle, cousin. It's sort of like a patriarchal father kind of a name. Jezebel means an impure woman. And so what you have is an impure woman with the leader, with the king, and you can see the fruits of that union. What you have in the story of Ahab and Jezebel is a story of how God's church is polluted by the immoral, or by how God's kingdom has been polluted by the immoral church. In Revelation 17, and there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." This is the whore of Babylon. This is the church that is standing in defiance to God at the very end of time. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." People worship Baal today. They don't know it. People worship this generic God that we apply our own definitions to. We say, well, God is this, God is this, God is that. And if we're not reading the Word of God, if we're not listening to the prophets, then we don't have the truth, okay? "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth." These scriptures were given to us so that we can know the truth. People say, because there's this pantheon of gods that's been handed down from generation to generation to generation, and it's been renamed by different societies and different places, and therefore we don't have to believe it because the God that we believe is all part of that. And since we don't worship Marduk anymore, we don't have to worship Jehovah, right? Wrong. Right from the beginning, Satan has been out there to counterfeit and to lie and to deceive to God's people. And unless we're being faithful, unless we're reading his word, unless we're being honest with ourselves and searching the scriptures, we're not safe. But we have this. Okay, so what do we have? What's one of the identifying marks of God's church at the end of time? They're the proclaiming the Elijah message. Look, we don't have to get things perfect, but we have to start where we are and work our way out from there, okay? There's the three angels' messages. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having preaching the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. We need to stop worshiping this generic God that has no meaning or meaning that we apply to it. That's silliness. And it's dangerous. This is talking here about worship him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. This is a call back to creation, the creator God, and the creator brings us back to the Ten Commandments, and as all these things are tied together, they're not separable. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. God will not suffer when God's church, when this false church starts hurting the innocents, he's going to step in and he's going to make it stop. God's fair, he's just, and he knows what he's doing, okay? We just got to be patient and wait. God's going to take her down because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath, her fornication. And not only is he going to take her down, but he says, the first angel followed said, if any man worship the beast and his image, he shall receive the mark in his hand or in his forehead. Look, times might get tough by not following the beast power, but in the end, it's going to be worth it. Be faithful. Be faithful. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. We just read there in Ezekiel that Satan's end, he is going to be destroyed by fire. In the end, this earth is going to be cleansed with fire. And all the things, all the false worship, all the pagan gods, all the pagan statues and deities and all this stuff, are going to be burned up. The only thing that's going to be left is the handiwork of Jehovah, Yahweh. God is with us. And this story about Jezebel and Ahab and Elijah and even Jehu, the one who was come in, and he marched into the town and he looked up into the window, and the eunuchs threw Jezebel out the window. Jehu means Jehovah is he. The triumphant king who would succeed this Jezebel, who would succeed Ahab, is Jehovah. Jehovah is he, Jehu. That's the God that we serve. That's the God of Abraham, Jacob. That's the God of our fathers that we follow. Be faithful, because in these pages is the truth. The more I dig, the more I find, the more layers I find to these stories, I say, wow, God, that is so cool. How could you not? How could you turn? How could you turn away? It happens, but I don't know how you do it. Be faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, keep giving us insights into your scriptures, into your word, so that we can see the majesty of your majesty in your, show us your power. And Father, help us to be faithful, not to follow those worldly religions that just kind of muddle things together and mix it and paganize it. We don't need that, Lord. We need you. Fill our hearts, Lord, to overflowing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.